If you happen to have a red letter edition Bible, you'll notice that these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day, and we thank you again for this occasion that we have to be in church. Lord, I thank you so much that we still have the freedom in this land to meet together with your people every week. Thank you that we have this place that we can come apart and come together, and have fellowship, sing songs of praise, and most of all, spend time in your word. And I pray, Father, that in the next few moments, you would help all of us to be able to focus our attention on the word of God. Help us not to be distracted in any way by anything going on here or elsewhere. And Lord, I pray that we'd not be distracted by our own opinions and thoughts and traditions that we might have had for many years. Help us to focus our attention on the Word of God, and let the Bible be the absolute final authority in all things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The last two Sunday mornings that I have preached on our adversary. And in this message, I have been pointing out some very important need-to-know biblical truths about our adversary, the devil. I told you there were four of these truths that I wanted to point out in the message. So far, I've given you two. The first of these that I pointed out was in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. And we saw there that our adversary, the devil, is looking. Like a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking, the Bible says, whom he may devour. So our adversary is constantly and continually on the look for anybody whose life he can possibly destroy. But then the second one, and this is the one we looked at last Sunday, is our adversary is limited. Not only is he looking, but he is limited. And we talked about how he's limited in two main ways. First of all, he's limited by the Lord. And I talked about how when we experience trials or testings that are allowed by the Lord, the devil is only able to do as much as the Lord permits. And we saw this truth demonstrated in the story of Job. But then secondly, I talked about how our adversary is limited by our lives. Not only by the Lord, but by our lives. We looked at some passages in the New Testament which show that the devil is limited in what he's able to do or accomplish in our lives when we as individuals and when we collectively as a group of believers do what God expects us to do. It's whenever as individuals or a group of believers we get away from the Bible that we open ourselves up and make ourselves susceptible to attacks from the devil. And as I mentioned, one of the main reasons why the devil is having such a field day in individual believers as well as in many of our churches is because we as individuals and as churches have decided that we're going to go away from the Word of God. And any time that I as an individual or we as a group of believers decide that we're going to do contrary to the Word of God, we open the door and allow Satan ground in our lives. So we limit him by the way we live. If we choose to do right, then we limit the amount of things Satan is able to accomplish in our lives and in our churches. But today, I want to move on. I want to finish up this message. I'm going to give you these last two truths that I think you need to know and understand about your adversary, the devil. The first one I want us to look at this morning is this. Our adversary is a liar. Our adversary is a liar. Not only is he looking, not only is he limited, but our adversary is a liar. If you look once again here at John chapter 8, verse number 44, notice Jesus says, and he's speaking here to a group of Jews that were not saved. His audience here is people who do not have a personal relationship with the Lord. And he says of these people, ye are of your father, the devil. That shows you that God is not everybody's father. One of the lies, and this really doesn't have a lot to do with the message, but one of the lies propagated by the devil is that everybody is God's child. And the reason why Satan would propagate a lie like that is because it causes folks to believe that when they leave this world, they're going to be all right and they're going to be with God in heaven. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody on this planet is a child of God. The only people that are children of God are people that have received God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. Every other person, irregardless of how religious they might be, every other person is a child of the devil. That's what Jesus Christ teaches. He says right here, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust, the desires of your father, notice, ye will do. Not you might do, but ye will do. We look at people sometimes and wonder why they live the kind of lives they live. We wonder why they choose the things that they choose. And here is reality. The reason why many people live the way they live and do the things they do and make the choices they make is because they are not saved. They do not have God as their father. They have the devil as their father, and they're simply fulfilling the lust and the desires of their father. That's what Jesus says. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. I have often looked at people, and I'm not trying to do it in a condemning or judging way, but it's just being observant. And knowing what I know about the Bible, I look and I think, well, them folks are living like the devil. Y'all ever thought that before in your mind? Well, them people are just living like the devil. And you wonder, why are they living like the devil? And then you read John 8:44, and you know why they're living like the devil. Because they're of their father, the devil. You ever heard the old saying, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it swims like a duck, it's probably a duck? Well, if somebody's always living like the devil, guess what? Guess what? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. If they're always living like the devil, that means that person is of their father, the devil. And that's why they're living the way they're living. But Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Here he says he was a murderer from the beginning. So people that murder others are simply following in the footsteps of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because, look at it, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. It comes from him, in other words. For he is a liar and the father of it. So when people murder, when people tell lies, they're just acting like the devil. But what I learned from this verse right here is that my adversary is a liar. I can't trust anything that he says. Amen. You can't trust anything that he says. He is a liar. According to what I read right here, all he ever does is lie. He is a liar and the father of it, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And you see this demonstrated throughout the Bible, but to me, one of the greatest places where you see exemplified our adversary being a liar is back in Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to go there with me right now. And I want us to spend a little bit of time here in Genesis chapter 3 this morning, noticing some things that Satan, our adversary, lies about. We know he is a liar because that's what Jesus said. We know that there's no truth in him because that's what Jesus said. But I want you to look with me now in Genesis chapter 3 and notice some specific examples of things that Satan lies about. And for those of you that don't know, which I feel like most of you do, Genesis chapter 3 is the first place that the devil shows up in the Bible. And I want us to pay close attention to things that he says here in his first appearance in the Word of God. It's the first time he shows up. This is the first time we have recorded things that he said. And it's important to pay attention to what is found here in the Word of God. But I want to give you three things from Genesis chapter 3 that Satan lies about habitually. Number one, I want to say this. Our adversary, this liar, lies habitually about the contents of Scripture. The contents of Scripture. You can always count on the devil to lie about the Word of God. He will always lie about what the Bible says. Why is it, do you wonder, that Satan would cause people to question what the Bible says? Why would he propagate lies about the Word of God? Well, here's reality. Reality is that the Word of God is the final and absolute authority in all matters of faith and practice. It is the only absolute truth that exists on this earth today. Amen? You know what that means? That means that everything, and I mean everything, not some things, but everything we believe as Christian people depends upon the authority of the Word of God. If the Bible is not true and absolute in everything that it says, we really don't have a foundation to stand on when it comes to anything we say we believe. So if the devil can pull from underneath us that one foundation, then you and I literally don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to what we believe in our own personal lives. So let's look right here and notice how he lies about the contents of Scripture. Verse number 1, Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent, when Satan shows up here, he comes in the form of a serpent, and the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle, very crafty, full of guile and deceit. He's able to be slick and pull things off. And you see this demonstrated. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, here's the first time the devil ever speaks in the Bible. First time he ever speaks, and this is what he says to Eve, yea, hath God said, notice that, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question mark. So what is the first thing he does when he opens his mouth in the Bible? The first thing that he does when he opens his mouth is questions what God said, right? That's the first thing he does. The very first thing that Satan does is he poses a question regarding what God has said. He wants Eve to begin thinking and mulling this over in her mind, to begin questioning what God has said. Notice he doesn't begin by denying what the Bible says. He begins by questioning what God says. That shows you why it says here in the verse, he's more subtle than any beast of the field. If he wasn't subtle, he'd have just come right out in the very beginning and denied what God said. But that's not how he works. He's subtle. He's crafty. He's full of guile in what he tries to accomplish. So he begins by a simple question. You read it and you think, well, that's a harmless question. But he has a reason, a motive in asking this question. So he says to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here's Eve's response. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see that? He goes from causing doubt to flat out denying what God said. He says, you're not going to die. You know what that is? That is a lie. It is a contradiction of what God had already said, because God did tell them, did he not? Didn't he tell them, the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Isn't that what God said? Well, the devil says just the opposite of what God said. So what it shows me is that Satan lies about the contents of Scripture. He lies about what God has said in the Bible. And he does this in all sorts of ways. The devil is able to just put things in a person's mind. Have you ever had a thought before that you knew immediately as soon as it came into your mind, that's not of God? I have those like every day of my life. Anybody else in here? You're just going along and then boom, there's a thought in your mind. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, if it's not of God and it didn't come from him, then guess where it did come from? So the devil, he can just put thoughts into your mind. And I believe many times he just comes to us with these thoughts about the Scripture, about the Word of God, where he causes us to question and even deny what God has said in the Bible. That's what he wants us to believe. He wants us to buy into the lie that we cannot trust what God has said in his Word. So he comes and just drops these thoughts in our mind that cause us to question what God has said. But not only does he do it through putting those thoughts in our mind, I believe one of the main ways that he propagates his lies about the Scripture is through people. He uses people to accomplish his goals many times. And he uses people to accomplish his goal of lying about the Word of God. He has people come along like atheists and agnostics, people that clearly don't believe in God, don't believe the Bible, and a lot of these people are very educated individuals and people that our society looks up to and feel like they've accomplished all sorts of things and they're worthy of all sorts of accolades and so forth. And they try to get us to think that we need to pay close attention to everything they say because they are such intelligent individuals. And he'll use these people to propagate his lies about the Word of God. Atheists and agnostics that don't believe the Bible. He'll use them to teach us and tell us, to try to convince us that we can't believe what's in the Word of God. I read just this past week, how many of y'all have heard of an individual named Stephen Hawking? Anybody in here heard of that? Brother Randy, a couple other people in here heard about that fellow. Well, he passed away back in March. He was a cosmologist, not a cosmetologist. He was a cosmologist. That means that he studied the cosmos and all that kind of stuff. He was also a physicist, and he worked at Cambridge. Worldly speaking, he was a very intelligent man. He was an educated individual anyway. We'll put it like that. People that are educated are not always intelligent. Some of the dumbest people on this planet are educated. You understand? Sometimes educated is really overrated, all right? If your education, by the way, teaches you against God, your education ain't worth a plug nickel. You understand? It doesn't matter how many PhDs you got behind your name and how many people you impress. You're an ignoramus if your education causes you to not believe what God said in the Bible. Amen. Well, here's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. This is a fellow right here. He's very educated. He died back in March. He was also an author. Put out various books and so forth. He had started another book before he died. Well, since he died, his family got together and they compiled some other notes and resource material and that sort of thing, and they finished off his book for him and they had it published, and it just come out. And it supposedly got all these revelations in it that us people as human beings need to know. And we're supposed to pay attention to this man because, after all, he's a smart guy. He's an intelligent man. We're supposed to pay attention to him. And I read through some of the different revelations that this final book brings out. One of them is that there's alien life form on other planets, and we're gonna see that one day. And there's other things, but here's the great revelation of all that he put out in this final book that all the world needs to know. You know what that educated man said? There is no God. That's what he said. Now, you know what the Bible says about a man like that? Can I tell you what the Bible says about a man like that? As educated as he was, you know what God calls that man? God calls that man a fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Isn't that what the Bible says? But here's a man who's educated beyond, I'm sure, any of us in here, had more schooling and all that kind of thing. And everybody's supposed to pay attention to him, and he comes out with this great revelation, what I want all the world to know. There is no God. That's what he tells us. Who do you think's behind that lie? Who do you think's behind that lie? That's the devil, see. He's propagating his lies. The devil, our adversary, is a liar. And he lies about the contents of the scripture. The Bible clearly teaches there is a God, right? Matter of fact, the Bible begins this way, in case you forgot. In the beginning, God. Right off the bat, the Bible declares the existence of God. So what does the devil do? He lies about the contents of Scripture. He uses people like Stephen Hawking and all sorts of other atheists and agnostics to propagate lies about the Scripture. But here's the thing that is even more subtle. This is the thing you got to pay attention to the most. He not only uses atheists and agnostics, people that we would just assume would tell lies about the Word of God, but more subtly, he uses liberal, apostate Bible teachers and preachers across this land to propagate lies about the Word of God. That's the thing you got to watch out for. We don't think too much about it when a fella, other people might, but we don't think too much about it when Stephen Hawking says there is no God. I could care less what that buffoon says. What his opinion has no bearing on my life whatsoever. I could care less. And most of us in here could care less what a man like that says. But where the devil is subtle and he'll get you is he'll have a fella in a suit and a tie stand behind a pulpit or behind a desk in a university somewhere, and he'll propagate lies to you about the Word of God. He'll tell you that what it says isn't right. And all through the years now, at last count, there was over 200 different translations of the Word of God, corruptions of the Bible that have been put out. And Christianity the world over has embraced that stuff like these things are good and these things are of God. And you know what it is? Here's reality, whether you believe it or not. All of the churches and all of the pastors and all of the schools and all of the Christians that have bought into that have bought into the lie of the devil. He's got them right where he wants them. Not believing what the Word of God says. They'll get up in a pulpit or they'll stand behind a platform or a desk and he'll say, well, I know this is what it says here, but that's not really the best translation and it really shouldn't be there and that's not in the best manuscripts and we'll leave that out, we'll put this out and we'll put this in and this is what it really ought to say. You ever heard anybody supposedly teaching the Bible say that before? I've heard it so much I want to stick both my fingers down my throat and vomit right here. I am sick and tired of these people that will stand up in the name of God and say, that's really not what it ought to say. Who are you? Who do you think you are? That you are smart enough to correct God? And I'm supposed to listen to you and believe that mess? You can go suck an egg that big around, man. I could care less what you think about the Word of God. If you don't believe what the Bible says, your opinion means nothing to me. It shouldn't mean anything to you. You should always just immediately check up, question, whoa, that ain't right. And you are perfectly within your right as a child of God to call a man on something like that. To say, who do you think you are to say something like that? Now, let me show you something. I'm running out of time here, but I want to show you something. Look at verses 2 and 3. I'm going to show you from what Eve says the three main ways that Satan lies about the contents of Scripture, especially whenever you're talking about these corrupt translations of the Bible. There's three main ways. Number one, he takes away from what it says. He takes things out that belong in the Scripture. Now look at verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Is that what God said? In its entirety, is that what God said? We're talking about how he takes things out. Look back now at the previous chapter, chapter 2. And look at verse 16. Pay attention to what you're reading now. Pay attention here. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest. What's that word there? Freely. Free is a pretty important word, isn't it? Because that's what your salvation is. It's a free gift from God. But when God says this, he says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. When Eve speaks, she says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Is there a word she leaves out there? Is there a word missing from what God said? You better believe it. The word freely is gone, isn't it? You know one thing Satan does in these new translations of the Bible? He takes things out that belong in the Word of God. Me and Brother Terry was talking about the other day. I'm not sure where he got the information, but it's information that is it's just public knowledge. Do you know the new international version, the NIV, that so many people just ooh and ah over? Do you know that it leaves out over 60,000 words that are found in the King James Bible? Over 60,000 words. But all those things do is just change the these and the thou so us poor uneducated people can understand what it means. It's like I've told you before, brother. I don't mean any disrespect to anybody in here, but if you don't know what thee or thou means, you definitely got problems, okay? Thee and thou ain't that hard to understand, friend. But what he does is he takes away from the contents of the scripture to get people to believe things that are wrong. Look at verse number 3 back in chapter 3. Not only does he take out, but he puts in. He adds stuff. But the fruit of the tree, and we're using what Eve said as an example here, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Is that what God said? Did God say that? Well, look at it again. Chapter 2. Verse number 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. That's what God said, right? Did he say don't touch it? He said don't eat it. He didn't say don't touch it. He just said don't eat it. Now, it's probably good that she didn't touch it, or it would have probably been good that it didn't touch it, because touching tends to lead to other things, which is why in the New Testament the Bible said it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You ever notice that? Why is it good for a man not to touch a woman? It's talking about an unmarried man touching a woman they ain't married to. You know why he says don't touch her? Y'all with me this morning? Because that touching tends to lead to some other things, don't it? And isn't that reality? That's where that stuff gets started, with the touch, and then it leads to something else. So it probably was best that they didn't touch it, but when God spoke, he didn't say don't touch it. But whenever she speaks up, she says, this is what God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. She adds in. So what does the devil do? He takes things out from the Bible that's supposed to be there, then he adds stuff in that's not supposed to be there. But here's one other thing he does. He changes it. Look at 3:3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Lest ye die. Is that what God said? Did he say, don't touch it? Or did he say, don't eat it, because if you do, lest ye die? Look at chapter 2, verse 17, one more time. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's a little more emphatic, isn't it? It's a lot more emphatic, as a matter of fact. So what does she do? She takes something out, she adds something in, and she changes what God said. That's exactly what the devil has done in all these corrupt translations. He's taken out words that God put in there. He's added in words that God didn't put in there. And he's changed words, changed things around to where it said stuff that God never said. And a lot of people today, by the thousands, just multiplied thousands of saved people, have bought into the lies that Satan's propagating about the contents of Scripture. I got to move on. I'm just going to have to mention these and be done. Number two, not only does he lie about the contents of Scripture, but I want to say, secondly, lies about the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin. And there's two ways he lies about the consequences of sin. Number one, he lies about the consequences of sin by telling you that bad things won't happen when you sin. For example, chapter 3, verse 4, what does he say to the woman? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God said they would, didn't he? He said, if you sin, you're going to die. And that's what the Bible teaches throughout the Scripture, is that sin brings death. That's what the Word of God teaches again and again. But what he says is, you're not going to die. So what does he do? He lies about the consequences of sin by telling you that bad things won't happen. You won't lose your marriage. You won't lose your job. You won't lose your testimony. You won't lose your kids. Nothing bad's going to happen. You just go ahead and do it. You're going to be the exception. You won't get addicted. You won't develop a habit that becomes a stronghold in your life. He just lies and he lies and he lies about the consequences of sin, telling you bad stuff is not going to happen, when God clearly says in the Bible that if you do wrong, bad things will happen in your life. But not only does he lie in saying that bad things won't happen, number two, he lies by saying good things will happen. He tells you just the opposite. Nothing bad's going to happen. Good stuff's going to happen in your life if you do wrong. You're going to have so much of a better life. Look at verse 5. He goes on to say in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what he's saying? Man, just go ahead and eat that. Just look how much smarter you're going to be. You're going to be so much more important. You're going to be like a god. And your eyes are going to open up. You're going to see things like you've never seen before. And you're going to know good and evil. You know what that's doing? That's lying to them about the consequences of sin. It's saying bad stuff's not going to happen. Good stuff's going to happen in your life if you do wrong. You know why he puts out all these TV programs? And don't kid yourself, buddy. Don't kid yourself. You know who's behind all these X-rated, R-rated movies? All this filth that's on the television now? The Prince of the Power of the Air is behind that garbage. And why he puts all this stuff out there and puts on these billboards, and why you can't even go into Walmart and buy groceries without standing in the line looking at filth all around you. You know who's behind all that stuff? The devil's behind that stuff. He's trying to convince me that my life is going to be so much better if I do wrong, if I go against what God says. Unfortunately, many people have bought into that. Got to move on. Here's the third thing. He lies about the contents of Scripture. He lies about the consequence of sin. And thirdly, he lies about the character of our Savior. He tries to get us to have bad thoughts about our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In verse number 5, this is what the devil says. He says, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay? If God knew that, and that's better for them, and God's the one that told them not to eat of the tree, then what does that mean about God? Y'all following me? If they would have been better off by eating like the devil said they would have been, and God's the one that told them not to eat, then you see what that is? That is a slander on God. It's as if he's saying God's holding something back from you that would be better for you. He's trying to get Eve to have a bad thought in her mind about the Lord. So he lies about the character of our Savior. He tries to get us to think things like, he doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care about you. He doesn't really have your best interest at heart. He's not really good like the Bible says. He's holding things back from you that really you need in your life. God's not fair. He's not just. He's not treating you right. He's giving you stuff or allowing things that you don't deserve. He'll use trials. The devil will use trials that you go through to cause you to have a negative thought in your mind about your Savior. He'll let you go through something hard, and then he'll drop these thoughts in your mind. Well, look at that good God you have there. Here you have been faithful, you go to church, you do right, and then look what he lets happen in your life. You know where those thoughts come from? The devil. He's trying to convince you that your God is not what the Bible says about him. He's trying to get you to question the character of your Savior. I got to give you one last thing, and I'm all done. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. And here's the last thing that I want to say. And it's not going to take but just a moment, but I want you to see this. I saved this for last because I love it. To me, it's the best thing of all. Our adversary is looking. Our adversary is limited. Our adversary is a liar. But last of all, I want to end on a positive note. Our adversary is a loser. Right here. You see what I'm saying? He's a loser. That's what he is. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, look at it, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I've said it before. I've heard you people say it, some of you anyway. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want any person. I like the Lord, I'm not willing any should perish. I wish everybody would get saved. Amen? I do. But there's one that I want to go to hell. And one day he's going to be there. He's going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever. I'm talking about the devil. One day the devil's going to get what's coming to him. Amen? He has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, he's the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He has his kingdom, his ministers, his angels. He's deceiving people, tempting people, destroying people. But ultimately, he is a loser. He has lost. He has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, he's going to wind up in the lake of fire. And forever and ever and ever, he will be tormented. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you for the truth of the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God, the absolute perfect Word of God that we have today. Lord, I pray you would help none of us to buy into the lies that are propagated about the devil or by the devil, whether it has to do with the scripture or sin or our Savior. And I thank you that one day he's going to be in the lake of fire forever, and I'll never have to worry about him again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.